Good evening, everyone. I call the March 20th, 2023 full city council meeting to order. The clerk will call the roll.
McAllister?
Here.
Mr. Foley?
Here.
Mr. Gephardt?
Here.
Mr. Howe?
Here.
Mr. Latessa?
Here.
Mr. McElroy?
Here.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
Here.
Eight present.
Thank you very much. Before we do the salute to the flag, I just want to give a roadmap of the meeting. We're kind of moving around a little bit here, so I want to make sure my fellow council members, the residents that are here, and the residents watching at home. So we have not completed the finance committee meeting. We still have public comment if residents who haven't had an opportunity to speak yet on the presentation that we just had. As soon as we finish this, we're going to go right back into that, right into the public comment. Once public comment period for the presentation that we just have is completed, I will then ask the finance committee to pause again. I'm going to have the public properties committee quickly convene and ask them to refer the public hearing, which is another subject that is on our agenda this evening, move that to the full council. Then they will pause. We will then move back into the full council meeting, where I'm going to ask my colleagues to allow that we do Rule 41, which is public comment. This is the opportunity for residents that have come here to speak on any topic of the city of Warwick. Once we finish the public comment section, we will then move and have the public hearing, which is on the agenda with the stenographers here for that. Once we finish the public hearing, we will then go back into the finance committee, which will complete its work, and the rest of the committees will complete their work, and then we will return to the full council meeting for the full council meeting. So I understand that's a lot of moving parts between each thing. I will explain what we are doing, but I just wanted to give everybody a roadmap because there is some moving around here, but I want to make sure everyone has an opportunity to speak on not only the actuary presentation, but also for public comments. I know there's individuals that are here just for Rule 41, and I know there's individuals here just to speak on the public hearing. So I want to put those three up first. I apologize to the administration, our friends there. I know we still have to go through the bid package and the sewer authority, but we will all work together and we will do the people's work. So at this time, I'd like to call on Councilwoman Travis to introduce our guest that's going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, tonight I'd like to introduce my brother, Don Rodriguez, from the Don Rodriguez Karate Academy. I know every year I speak about the Ocean State Grand National and the input that it has in Warwick. So I thought he would be great to do the pledge, and he can tell you just a little bit too.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and for the republic in which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and our still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave?
Thank you very much. And sir, I know you have a big event that brings a lot of people into the city of Warwick, so we'd love to hear from you.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate you giving me the time to let us know what's going on. And we've been working on this tournament for many months. It's called the Ocean State Grand National Karate Championships. This is our 41st year that we're running the tournament. It's going to be at the Crown Plaza Hotel. The event's going to be going on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, March 31st, April 1st, and April 2nd. We are a part of the World Tour, called World Master Tour, which is the North American Sport Karate Association. In that tour, there is 11 tournaments around North America. In September, our first tournament was in Chicago. In February, our second tournament was in California. Our third tournament was earlier this week, this month, in Texas, and we have our tournament here. Quebec Open is later in April. So as you can see, we have a really exciting tour. We have people coming from all over the place. We have a lot of different countries with people that are coming in from those countries. Some of those people are the best sport karate competitors in the world. And one of the reasons why is because out of all the tournaments that is on the tour, the Ocean State is giving out more money than any of them. We're giving out $28,000 in cash prizes. There's only two other tournaments getting slightly over $20,000. Everybody else is below that. So I can imagine you have the very best competitors there are. And on top of that, we have our hotels are out of control. The Crown Plaza is totally booked out. 477 room nights we have there. The Holiday Express is completely booked out. The Hilton Garden and the Hyatt are the other two halls that we're working on. But everybody is scattering all over the state. I should say all over the city in different hotels. So we have a very, very large group coming in. Very excited. We also are having it filmed by the CW channel. And they're going to be filming our nighttime show. The month of May, we're going to have 4 episodes on the Ocean State Grand Nationals. Every Saturday morning at 1 o'clock, there will be a segment of the highlights from the Ocean State Grand Nationals. In those segments, we have at least 4 commercials for the City of Warwick, to promote the City of Warwick, to let everybody know. And we'll do a program book with everybody with the restaurants. I can't tell you how excited I am. And I'd really like to, if you ever want to come to the tournament, it'll be pretty easy to get in. Donna works my door. So I think she knows you well. I don't think you'd have a hard time getting in. I'd love to have you here. You know, we have a special guest, Don the Dragon Wilson. He's been in over 60 films. And he was a professional kickboxer and sport karate competitor. Very good friend of mine, and he'll be here signing autographs and so forth. I can't wait for it to be over 2 weeks from today. But thank you very much. I really appreciate you giving me the time to talk a little bit about the tournament. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. And we look forward to all those people staying in those hotels, eating in our restaurants, buying gas, going out, enjoying our city. So thank you. At this time, we're going to do general communications. This is announcements of congratulations, condolences, and community events. I have two. I want to remind everybody that on Wednesday, the City of Warwick is hosting a small business summit. At the Sawtooth Building. It is for any individuals that have a business in Warwick or looking to do business in Warwick. It's from 4 to 7 o'clock. There'll be workshops available on a number of different topics, and there'll also be individuals from the federal government, the state government, the city government, nonprofits, all available to talk about resources that are available to the small business community. I also have I'm going to request from my colleagues a moment of silence from Michael Gaffney. Many people know Coach Gaffney. He coached at Tollgate in LaSalle. He's a Hall of Fame coach. He was my a teacher at, he was my guidance counselor at Tollgate. Huge family, the Gaffney family's here in Warwick. He passed away this weekend. Mr. Gaffney was a great guy. I would see him walking in the neighborhood. He's always asked about everyone's family. And again, he was a Hall of Fame hockey player. He's a Hall of Fame hockey coach. And he touched and helped out so many individuals through his over 40 years of coaching hockey at the highest levels, won state titles at Tollgate and LaSalle. And I just ask for a moment of silence for Mr. Gaffney. Thank you. Are there any other general communications from members of the council? Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. On May 13th, Saturday, May 13th, the City of Warwick in the Rhode Island Military Organization will be hosting, while the event will be sponsored by New York Insurance, New York Life Insurance, a boot camp breakfast. It's going to be a little different this year, and usually it's an event where veterans can go meet with employers. This was just determined. This was just planned. So it's in the planning. The information will go out, but they can meet with potential employers. They can talk to financial planners. They can enroll for VA benefits. We are also extending it to the senior citizens, New York Life, New York Life Insurance, families and seniors also, but its primary is a veterans organization. Again, that's Saturday, May 13th, and that will be from either 8 or 9 a.m. to about 1 p.m., 2 p.m., one of those time frames. So again, it was just recently approved. It'll be at the Sawtooth Building, and I just wanted to put that out there, and more information will follow. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Any other general communications for members of the council? Okay, hearing none, we'll go to executive communications. There are none. A is the acceptance of minutes from the council meeting held on March 6th. Councilman Howe, do you have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, at this time, I'm going to ask that we return to the Finance Committee meeting, and we will go right back into the public. If you haven't had a chance to speak as a member of the public on the actuary's presentation, this is the time here. Once we complete that, once the public has their opportunity to speak on this presentation, we will then pause the Finance Committee meeting and move to the Public Properties Committee. We will get through to everything. We're just going to move some things around. Also, if residents are interested in speaking on public comment, Rule 41, which will be right after public properties, there's a sign-up sheet on the list here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Finance Committee is going to resume with the presentation, and we're public comment. Finish up public comment. Sergeant of the Arms, are there any public speakers for public comment in this portion? Not from the list. Okay, I see. Thank you. We have a couple speakers. Thank you. Please come on up. This is, again, for the presentation of the actuary. And identify your name, please.
Barry Cook, 20-year resident of the city, president of the Warwick Taxpayers Association. And I might add now we're over 100 members. So we're growing every day. I just want to say this. I came with numerous questions, but I got to say, following Mr. Lattisaw's presentation, Mr. Cody's presentation, Bob Cushman's presentation, Michelle's presentation, I'm down to probably just a handful now. So I'm not going to go through the same questions, the same discussion that were held by those people that I just mentioned. I think I'll take my glasses off so I can see. I guess the first question I want to ask is, because I'm new to this, what is the primary reason for this analysis and presentation? I understand it's a fiduciary matter, it's speaking about some of our financial obligations, but I'd like to know the history. For example, are we presently operating on a similar plan from years gone by? In other words, was there a plan proposed 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago? And this presentation is now a follow-up to that. So what is the primary reason for this presentation?
Mr. Schaefer, if you would like to answer that. Just please identify and speak into the microphone.
I got it now. Well, for many years, there are two major long-term liabilities, employee-related. One is pension obligations, and the city's worked hard at that, and I think the presentation made it clear that we've done a good job on that. But it'd be at four pensions, 78% funded, rather than 25% as it is in Providence. But the other the thing that we have not addressed is the OPEB liability, which, as Joe reports, is over $390 million. That means we have commitments based upon length of life, two people, four health insurance, that has a value, an actuarial value of $395 million. Joe has come to us with a strategy, a plan for whittling away at that over a long period of time to eliminate that liability and give comfort in our financial statements, as we do other things, that we're addressing the issue.
Thank you. The other part of that question was, is the city presently operating under a similar plan that was presented in the years past, and this is a follow-up to that?
No, there's really been no long-term commitment by the city to other post-employment benefits. We record a liability in our financial statements. This is a plan to address that liability.
Thank you. I recently read a comment somewhere, I'm not sure it was in the Beacon or someplace else. Another question, if I may, for the director. Someplace I read there was a quote attributed to the finance director, something along the effects, it's time to get our books in order. I may not be saying that in the words that it was presented, but I believe that was the sum total of what I read. Is this an effort in some way to clean up the books?
Well, it's clearly a way to address the book show. We've got a liability of $395 million. Many people have talked about that. We've had discussions at the budget hearings the last 2 years on that issue. So this is, we know from our financial statements we have this problem. We budget the annual payments to these retirees each year, but we have no way of addressing, we have not done anything materially to address the long-term liability. This is an effort to address something that the financial statements have disclosed to us.
And I have a follow-up question. I want to go back to, is there a reason beyond what was stated? In other words, as we look at this, one of the comments that I read earlier, I don't know if tonight or earlier, that this might be an effort to shift by spending this $5 million, which I have a question about, but by investing this $5 million into the plan, is this an effort to make our books look like we owe less, which makes us more bondable, which makes us subject to lower rates? Is there some correlation?
Well, clearly, if the city wanted to borrow money, the rating agencies want to see that we've addressed this liability. And we're approaching an era where we may want to borrow a lot of money if we proceed with building two high schools. So this is a first step, in my opinion, in getting at that by addressing this liability allows the city to go forward.
I have another question, if I might. The $5 million that we're speaking about in terms of making an investment, I read someplace, I saw someplace, I heard someplace that was coming out of insurance reserves. And then I thought the gentleman from the actuary discussed medical reserves. So where exactly would this $5 million come from?
Well, what the plan is that we have a pension plan which is dwindling in size, that it's an aged plan. We do not need to fund it. We'll have a cliff in 15 years if we keep funding it. The idea is to take some of the money that we're putting in there for retired policemen and firefighters and take part of it to go into our address our OPEB liability. And eventually, in 2027, taking some contributions from the municipal plan. And there's two other possibilities listed here in terms of some other reserves. So there's a four-pronged plan, two of which are which Mr. Newton has brought to us, two of which what the city is trying to deal with, four different sources of funds to try to address this liability.
Follow-up question. So when we say reserves, are they actually reserves that are sitting in a separate account somewhere for that purpose, or are they coming out of the pension plan somewhere?
No, we have a special trust account for OPEB for other post-employment benefits. We've appropriated $250,000 the last 2 years, so there's approximately $500,000 in a special trust.
So how do we get from $500,000 to $5 million?
The council appropriated $250,000, and we moved the money into the trust after the budget passed.
I understand that, but I thought you said it was funded with $250,000 at some point in the past, and now that fund is up to $500,000. That's what I thought you said. And if I understood you correctly, $500,000 is a far cry from $5 million. So I'm still not sure where the $5 million is.
This is the plan beginning in fiscal year 24. Next year, the outline of it is, Joe has presented to us, four possible funding sources. We'll incorporate the final plan in the budget. We'll come to the council with an ordinance change either for the funding of the fire and police plan and for the long-term funding of the OPEB plan. This is a hearing on an idea, the kernel of an idea. We'll get, as we move down the road, we'll have some ordinance changes to ask the council to execute it.
So the bottom line is we presently don't have this $5 million.
No.
This is something we're going to accrue over time.
This is a plan how we could fund this over the next 30 years and take care of the liability.
Another question I have is on the 2% OPEB, OPEB, other pension employee, whatever that is, that 2%, Mr. Lattisaw addressed it earlier in previous meetings. Mr. Cody's addressed it. Mr. Cushman's addressed it. I'm going to address it. This 2% contribution, which the fire department has agreed to at this point, but they've agreed to it only if the other two unions adapt the same.
That's correct.
Okay. So what happened? The question was asked earlier. I'm not sure I got the answer, but I think the question was asked of the gentleman from the actuary firm, maybe even you, Mr. Schaefer. What happens if the other two unions don't agree to this?
The actuary's plan never makes use of that money. He talks about on the last page of his presentation the possibility of that resource being available, which would then reduce the city contributions that would be required.
The $250,000 that was previously appropriated, climbing to $500,000 perhaps in the next budget, is that coming from the 2% contribution?
No. Okay. No, the $500,000, $250,000 2 years in a row was a direct appropriation from city revenues to start the OPEB trust.
I'd like to discuss some of the estimates or I just lost my thought for a second, but I guess what I want to ask is the assumptions. We're talking about a 5.9 or 6% investment return in this proposal. Can you tell us what the history of the city has been in terms of the last 5 or 6 years, what we've actually earned?
Well, the actuary responded to that issue before, and he said somewhere between 6% and 7%. There's been a lot of fluctuation. We had a very bad year last year, as you can imagine. The year before, we made over 30%.
Thank you, Mr. Cook. That's the time at this point.
If you don't mind, I'm just going to check my file, see if that's accurate. Well, we don't agree on that, but I guess I have no choice. You shut off the councilman, I'm certain you're going to shut me off. But for the record, I don't agree with the timing. Mine says something different.
Duly noted. Thank you.
You know what? You're very sarcastic. I've been very polite, but you're a very sarcastic person. Duly noted. Please don't get next to me. Please don't get next to me. You're in my space.
He's the sergeant of the arms, sir. He's the sergeant of the arms. He has, that is, no police. Officer Sergeant Wells of 30 years on the Warwick Police Department, K-9 officer, thank you so much for your assistance and your time volunteering for this great city. Thank you, sir. Will the next speaker please go to the microphone?
Hello, Richard Langseth, Budlong Farm. I never present my credentials. They're rather boring. I have a CLU. I've worked in pensions for many years. In fact, I worked on the City of Warwick's healthcare in the 1980s with my partner. And we put some pretty good programs together, especially for the school department. So I unfortunately was working, so I wasn't here at the beginning of the meeting. So if I ask questions that have already been asked, then just let me know. Number one, I think the city council people have the health care benefits, right? Or some of them do. And do they fall into the retirement program too when they leave? Are you folks subject to the same thing that the employees are?
If with permission, I will answer that. Anyone on the city council after 2009 does not qualify for retirement. They do qualify. Active members of the city council do qualify for health care. Some members do collect that health care. Some opt out of it. However, members elected prior to 2009 do qualify for retirement health care, if they opted for it.
Okay. I don't think we have very many right, Donna, but there are some. Okay, that's I'm glad to hear that. So it's limited.
Yes.
Okay. So when it comes to employees and they retire, are they asked to identify their health plan and their future employment? For instance, if they leave the city of Warwick as retirees, say at 55, and they then get a job for the state of Rhode Island, and they get benefits from the state of Rhode Island, or they could, are they obligated to tell the city about the benefits they're getting in future jobs?
There is a requirement in, I think, both in the ordinances and in the labor contracts that if you have other health insurance, you have to waive your city health insurance. But I can't remember whether it has to be a better plan or not, or the comparable plan. I'm just not sure. The personnel director would know that, who he enforces that provision.
Thank you, finance director.
So that's actually, in some respects, enforced, and that cuts some of the cost. Well, that's good news. I really didn't know that. And I think that's important to know that when younger employees retire, the public should know that they are actually paying through their new jobs. Of course, the problem is that many of them would just simply waive their coverage from their new job because the old job is paying it, and they don't have to have co-pays and all that. They have a very rich program, in other words, with the city and perhaps with the new job, even being the state of Rhode Island, they might decide to waive. So I wonder if the ordinance is strong enough to enforce compliance with this. So I don't know. Personnel person isn't here, but I mean, it's something that you guys should think about moving forward. We really need to come to grips with this. This is a huge problem. I do have a question for the actuary, and it involves the cost of care increase. The health care increases are very large. What number are you using as a inflation projection for other employee benefits health?
It starts out around 6.5% a year. It trends down over time to around 4.25%. 4.15%, I believe.
So where did you get that calculation from?
We use the Gibson model to come up with the long-term trend, and then we use what's going on short, recently in trends for the upfront, and then we just trend.
So do you have a citation? Do you have a organization that you go to get that number? Or are you just, getting it?
The Society of Actuaries puts out information we can use, but then also our firm has experts in that specific field that put that information out that we use.
And can you make that available to the public here in Warwick?
It's disclosed in my report, so yes.
Because, I understand that the healthcare increases are around 10 or 11%. I think 6%, I don't know if you can call it conservative or not, but it seems to be lower than what I've been seeing lately.
The last 5 years has actually been less than CPI.
Oh, okay.
It's been less, very low.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Healthcare increases are less than CPI?
Yeah, the last 5 years or so. It's been pretty crazy.
I'd love to see a report on that. I think the city really needs to have a report on that, by the way, because this is a very important issue. As I understand it, and I'm not an expert, but the healthcare increases are around 10% a year, not CPI has been, 1 or 2% for many years until recently, I think.
Right.
We haven't had inflation. So you're saying that healthcare is at the CPI for the past 4 or 5 years? I'd like to see that. I really would. And I think the city council would, too.
Okay.
Seriously. Yeah, thank you. This is something that's very, very concerning to all of us. There's no doubt about it. And it gets into politics. It gets into this nasty socialism and the national health care and the lack of national health care. And, the city council needs to understand that this is a runaway problem, and we really can't let retirees get off the hook this way. I mean, you just can't. So I have a question. Maybe it could be answered. I understand that retirees don't have the same union benefits that active workers do, that somehow they fall out of the negotiating part of it.
In general, they're guaranteed the benefits that they were receiving at the time they retired. So that if the city negotiates something better or worse for the employee, people are grandfathered into the benefit they had when they retired.
Is this a common practice in labor relations?
Absolutely.
So you're telling, of course, we're talking public sector here. We're not talking private. Because in private sector, what would happen is when you retire, if you're not 65, I mean, okay, go get another job, And then when you're 65, you fall under Medicare. So what you're telling me is that typically across governments, that when people retire, they typically get fully funded health care. And if they don't, well, we'll put it this way. If people get fully funded health care when they retire, and this is a union negotiated benefit, what you're telling me is that the cities are stuck with it.
Yes, except when they turn 65, they go on Medicare.
Right.
Understood. And for many city employees, there's a Medicare supplement, but the city is no longer responsible for the kind of premiums they were paying until they turned 65.
Okay. So what happens if the city goes bankrupt?
Well, that's not a possibility, sir.
Well,
full faith and obligation.
I think it clearly is. I mean, I think the city of Detroit went bankrupt, didn't they? And as I remember it, when I was working in New York City, there was very great fears of the city of New York going bankrupt. So cities can go bankrupt, I think. Or they may want to go bankrupt, because part of the reason for going bankrupt is to get rid of, flush out some of these benefits that the city clearly can't afford, as Mr. Cody and Mr. Cushman pointed out. I mean, we have a serious problem here. And the city council should recognize the problem and not just say, oh, there's no solution, we're just stuck with it forever. I mean, I'm sorry, the city is a corporation. It is organized by the state of Rhode Island. It can go bankrupt. In fact, it can actually disappear, truth be known. But not suggesting that. What I'm suggesting is that leverage should be applied to these benefits for these retirees to get them to recognize that they need to control their cost. They must have a co-share that is significant. Otherwise, they're just going to run up their, they're just going to run it up. Oh, okay, you know, I'm not feeling so good. So, you know what? I just go for it. You know, I'll go to the Leahy Clinic or something.
Thank you, sir. That is the time.
Okay, thank you very much. And I hope my comments were helpful.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public that would like to speak upon this presentation? Any other members of the public that would like to speak to this presentation? The time is now, time is now 7:45 p.m. The Finance Committee will recess.
Yeah, we're going to pause the Finance, and I would like to call the Public Properties Committee, and that is Councilman Foley and Councilman Gephardt. So stay right there, please.
Good evening. I'm serving as the chair. Councilman Ricks got called away. The Public Properties Land Use Committee called to order at 7:47. First order of business, acceptance of minutes from committee meeting held on March 6th.
Move to accept.
Seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
The next order is item 1, PCO 6-23, order on the abandonment of a portion of Texas Avenue JMR Properties LLC petitioner. I'm looking for a motion to move to public hearing.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. We're now going to pause that committee. We're going to pause that committee. We're going to go back into the regular city council meeting. So at this time, we're going to move to Rule 41, which is the public hearing, public comments, I'm sorry. Then we will do public hearing immediately after public comment. There's a sign-up sheet here. I just want to do one last call, Sergeant. If there's anyone here that would like to be heard public hearing, please sign your name up now, and then we will do that. And then once we finish the public comment, then we will go into the public hearing. Once we finish the public hearing, we will go back into committees. And I thank everyone for their patience. Good evening, everyone. We are now at the public comment section on the agenda. This is Rule 41. After general communications and prior to the consent calendar, at the last regularly scheduled meeting of the City Council each month, there will be a period of time not to exceed 30 minutes during which citizens may comment about Warwick's government, city government issues following to the following situations. A, the total period of time for public comment shall not exceed 30 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow as many citizens as possible to participate. Each citizen signed up and present shall have not to exceed 5 minutes to speak, provided, however, that if there are more than 6 citizens signed up and present, the 30 minutes will be split evenly amongst speakers. Time shall not be transferable among speakers. The topics for comments shall be issues directly affecting city government. City Council members will not respond to questions during public comment. Public comment session will terminate at the expiration of the earlier of the speakers concluding their allotted time or 30 minutes. Waiver of this provision requires unanimous consent vote of the council. So at this time, we have 4 individuals that have signed up to speak at this time. So each individual will get up to 5 minutes. The first speaker is Richard.
Richard Langseth, Budlong Farm. Tonight, we're going to talk about the airport. We're going to talk about the noise problem. We're going to talk about 1,000 people in Warwick who have soundproofed their homes and are now finding that the soundproofing is failing. They're finding that their air conditioners are no longer working. and they cannot get parts. They're finding that their windows are beginning to leak, that the FAA has officially said that the lifespan of the soundproofing is between 20 and 40 years. I have recently put together a Facebook group. I put it together last week. Now we have 100 members in the Facebook group, many of them with sound problems in their homes. As you may remember, 2 weeks ago, we had a very fine city council meeting where we talked about noise mitigation and these kinds of things. At that point, I didn't know anything about these failing soundproofings. And a city council member came by and he offered a petition to work with the freight terminal, the proposed freight terminal, and said that perhaps some kind of noise berm would help. I didn't really fight it at the time, but now I'm beginning to understand that we have a very, very significant newly emerging sound problem with the airport. And I wanted to bring it to your attention because it involves constituents of several of the city council members. And I do believe that the city council needs to look closely at what RIAC has promised over the past 25 years. They promised a noise curfew. They promised in an FAA document that they would install a curfew that runs all night long. And what they've done is they've been beginning to meet with the council members and the planning department and RIAC, 1 month at RIAC, the next month here. And I can tell you, having worked with RIAC since its very beginning, you get kind of pumped up when you go there. You know, they have all these executives and this and that and on and on. It feels pretty good. But what we really need in Warwick is to represent the constituents, represent the people. And if the people's soundproofing is failing, we need to address that big time. So that's more important to me, I believe, and hopefully to all of you, than perhaps creating a few jobs in a warehouse. We need to make sure that the people are protected. And if they're not protected, then we have to recognize that when the airport comes by with more and more early morning and late night flights, the city has to begin to say, wait a minute, you know what? We have a big problem with your soundproofing. And by the way, it's worse than that. On Palace Avenue, if you run down Palace Avenue running south across Main Avenue, you will discover about 100 homes in the noise cone, about 100 homes in the 65 decibel noise cone that are not soundproof, that they're not offering soundproofing for. Whereas if you look at the other ends, like the Cedar Swamp, the Northeast and the crossover by Carvel on the Northwest, the soundproofing goes way beyond the noise cone.
1 minute, Mr. Langseth.
Okay, thank you very much. So I just want to bring this to your attention, and obviously I'm going to be writing some stuff about it, but you know what? I'm not a crank when it comes to this. It's really, really important. Thank you very much.
Mr. President.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. President.
We
just make a simple comment.
We can't respond.
I'm not answering.
We can't. I'm sorry. The next speaker is Robert.
Patricia first.
Patricia.
Okay. As stated, my name is Patricia Orr. I'm a Warwick resident. You want me to lower this? I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I'm a resident of the city of Warwick for over 30 years, roughly 33 years. I reside at 45 Anderson Avenue, which is off of Narragansett Parkway in the Gaspee section of Warwick. We've met on several occasions with our ward councilman, Mr. William Foley. He's been very understanding and stated that he would let us do, prepare this discussion this evening. This request is not only both my husband and I, but many of the residents in this general area. Several neighbors have approached us and asked us, because we're closer to the situation, what is going on. It's a piece of property that was sold 1 year ago. It had been a rental property for many years, and it's a very small dwelling, a two-bedroom, one-bedroom home with an attached garage, but the total land area of this residence is 6,000 square feet. The current occupancy of the new owners are two senior adults. So our request this evening is we want the city council to amend some of the wording that is, we feel, misconstrued about the safety and visual obstruction of very large recreational vehicles that are parked on this property. Currently, at this property, we have 5 motor vehicles, a 13-foot in height boat with trailer, a 10-foot in height mobile home camper, and a large GMC pickup truck. They're permanently parked for the past year on a front open corner lot that corners Anderson Avenue and Martin Drive in Warwick. If you read zoning ordinances, they have state that the boat should only stay there a short period of time, must be moved, et cetera, et cetera. We're not going to get into that. We're not picking on neighbors. We feel that the city must start addressing these large vehicles that people put in their yard when they don't have room for them. The situation, we feel, has now created a safety and visual obstruction. The obstruction on a corner lot is serious for the traffic flow, children, and pets in the area. When my husband and I wanted to erect a fence in our driveway, we were told that the fence could not be higher than 6 feet in height, and at the must drop down to 2.5 feet at the end of the driveway, leaving clear visual impact for traffic. So in summary, my husband is going to get more into the actual rewording or amended wording that we're asking for and have the city council address this, not just for our two streets, but for the city of Warwick. You can ride around, and majority of the residents do cover their boats, put them in their backyards, but this has now become a problem on our two streets. Thank you, and my husband will speak more to the amended wording.
Thank you. Is that Robert?
Yes, Robert Grace, 45 Anderson Avenue. We've been residents there for the past 33 years. You have the photographs which indicate the indications or the conditions, I should say, in our neighborhood. But the best descriptive is that we live across the street and next door to a used car lot. But I think an important point here is this is not a single neighborhood issue. These concerns relate and uncurbed can affect every residential neighborhood in the city of Warwick. And without a remedy in place, there's no recourse. These issues have the potential, again, of affecting every residential area in an adverse way. It is therefore the concern of every Warwick resident and every Warwick property owner who has an interest in protecting their property and at the same time having a reasonable anticipation of enjoying that property to support a proposed amendment. And in that regard, it certainly warrants the attention of the Warwick City Council. I don't have any details tonight. I think it was appropriate to make suggestions as to an amendment, but I'm happy to offer any suggestions at the appropriate time. In addition, and lastly, there are a number of neighbors here who share the same concerns that we do, but will not be speaking.
Thank you, sir, and thank you for identifying the people. The next speaker is Kim.
Good evening. My name is Kim Lee. I am the owner of 38 Anderson. I was alerted of this hearing by other neighbors who actually have boats and campers in their yard and were concerned that any zoning change would also affect them. We do have a boat in that side yard, which is our only yard, given the size of the property that Pat, I believe her name was. I've never met her before. She's never talked to me or even said hello to me. So yes, that is our property, that side yard. There is a boat that is overwintering there now. Yes, last year when we moved there, it stayed there for the year. We know that was wrong. That boat will be moved in 2 weeks to the marina, and I have a receipt of where it will be stored off property for the summer. Warwick allows citizens to overwinter their boat on their property, and we do plan to bring that boat back in the fall to overwinter, and then next boating season it will be gone again. The camper is a mini camper, a mini Springdale. It is not a huge camper, and it does not obstruct the view of people traveling on Anderson Avenue, evidenced by the speed, the traffic, flies down that road. They're not concerned. As far as children, there are no children at the end of our street. It's all older people. There are no children playing there. And why would they be playing in our yard? As far as the dogs, when all these neighbors walk around our property, they all do their business right on our lawn. I watch them do this every day. So what's so dangerous about that? We do own several vehicles. Everything we owned, we do own. We're not storing anybody else's. They're inspected, registered, paid for, and they're used. They're used at various times, different times. Nothing is permanent on that property. Things move around often, as I'm sure the neighbors could say, since they obviously watch. Everything moves, the camper, the boat, the cars. So as far as I'm concerned, we are not violating any ordinance presently. Warwick is considered one of the major boating areas in this state. There are over 312,000 recreational boats in Warwick. How many people do you want to upset by telling them they can't overwinter their boat in their yard or keep their camper in their yard? That's our pleasure time. I just think you need to think about that, because there are plenty of neighbors that came up to us with this notice, so it's not everyone in the neighborhood that's upset with what we're doing. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So now we are moving on to referral of business, PCO 6-23. This is the public hearing, an order of abandonment of a portion of Texas Avenue, JMR Properties. Committee report, land use. Councilman Foley, land use, you recommended to move to the open a public hearing?
Recommend opening public hearing on PCO 6-23.
Second by Councilman Howe. So now we are in the public hearing. What's that? Oh, and we're going to vote. All those in favor of opening the public hearing, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you very much. Just give me a 1 second, sir. So for the public hearing, how we do this is I will ask, is there anybody here to present this to the council? We will then have a presentation for the council. I ask everybody who's speaking to just speak slowly and clearly. We have the stenographer here this evening to record the public hearing. Then we will open it up for questions from members of the council, and then we will open up to members of the public. I will ask if there anyone here to speak in favor of this proposal. Then I will ask for people if there's anyone here to speak against this proposal. And then I will ask if anyone who would like to be heard on this proposal. So at this time, is there anyone here to speak on behalf of this project, PCO 6-23? Please identify yourself.
Yes, good evening, Mr. President. My name is Jeff Caffrey. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Resnick and Caffrey. I'm here on behalf of the petitioner. With me as well is Stephen Miller. He's principal of JMR Properties, one of the petitioners. So before the council this evening, is a petition to abandon a portion of Texas Avenue. It lies between Jefferson Boulevard and Ohio Avenue. It's a strip of land that's 40 by 100, 4,000 square feet. To the immediate west of the area before the council this evening is a portion of Texas Avenue that's been previously abandoned in 1988. And that was a strip of 160 by 40, so 6,400 square feet. I took the opportunity to visit the site there this evening, and it's obvious to anybody who drives the area that this portion of Texas Avenue is not being utilized. There is access to the abutting properties over accepted city streets. In particular, we've got the Vermont Avenue condominiums, which access their property over Vermont Avenue, Esquire Properties and LAX Realty, all with alternate means of access. It's my understanding that this matter has been heard and a recommendation was made by the planning department in favor of granting the abandonment, and that an appraisal was done, and we've tendered a check to the city in the amount of $16,000 to compensate the city for the use of the land. Having said that, if any member of the council has any questions, we're happy to try and answer them.
Well, thank you, sir. And we do have that in our packet here. We have a memo from the planning director in favor of this. The planning department came out with their recommendation for this. Are there any questions from members of the council on this hearing? Any questions from members of the council? Okay, I'm going to move to the public here. Going to ask, is there anyone here to speak in favor of this project? Are there any members of the public here to speak in favor of this project? Any members of the public here to speak in favor of this project? Are there any members of the public here to speak against this project? Are there any members of the public here to speak against this project? Are there any members of the public here to speak against this project? Are there any members of the public that would like to be heard at this time on this project? Go ahead, sir. Please identify yourself for the record.
My name is Richard Langseth, Budlong Farm in Warwick. I was going over the PCR and also over the petition, and I'm very confused about who's going to purchase the property. And, you know, perhaps the presenter could help me out. It's my understanding that in common law, the road is split in half by the abutters. So Vermont would get one half and the petitioners would get the other half. However, it's not clear in this petition what's going to happen. And I wonder if these folks, the Vermont condominium, have been appropriately noticed in time for them to respond. I just don't know the answer. So, you know, perhaps somebody could help me out on this.